Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Another episode. This is part two of our massive all week long interview with Tom Donnan. His ministry is Healing the Nation, and he has been sharing with us a dream that he had that is relating to these end times that we want to share with you. We're going to rewind it just a little bit. If you missed yesterday's episode, go back and listen to it and catch up, because we're just backing up just a little bit for today, in order to make this thought, the beginning opening statement that he's making, cohesive and understandable. And he's going to start off from the book of Amos. Amen. So we're going to jump right back into this interview now with Tom Donnan.
But I like to reference the book of Amos, you know, and in the book of Amos the same thing was happening. Amos came to the ruling class, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he was saying, hey, listen, you guys got a sin issue. And they blew him off. Mm-hmm. And they said, go back and do the sheep herding. And so he did, and God blessed him and watched over him. The thing was is that started a time clock. And that clock started ticking. And God started to introduce things into their lives to shake them up, to get them to take a look that this was a problem, And they ignored it. And then this loving God finally came to the point where he says, okay, I'm not going to get through their stiff-necked or hard heads, and then allowed the invasion to take place. Now, what I use that for is that if those people knew beforehand that this was going to happen, they would have repented.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't. Now we got the same thing that's happening here, where we have so much comfort, but before us, we have this disaster looming in many different directions. And so I'm absolutely amazed that it hasn't happened so far. And so part of the shaking that is going on, and you and I have talked about this in the past, is that I brought this up. It says in 2017, the federal report says that in 2017 shattered the U.S. damage report for natural disasters.
Mm.
And it says an onslaught of wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and other natural disasters across the nation in 2017 caused a record $306 billion in damage, breaking a record for the price of destruction, according to the report released Sunday by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Wow.
Now, so you would think that that would start to get people's attention, that we have a God that we need to have a relationship with so that we can be secure in him, regardless of what happens around us, that he mm-hmm. is going to be with us and walk us through it, and that he is going to provide for us. And I am astounded, because it's not happening.
Yeah.
And it comes back to comfort. Now, what just happened a couple weeks ago is that I had a friend from Oklahoma City contact me about a niece in the outlaw side of the family, so to speak, mm-hmm. wasn't a direct blood relative. Her mother was having some problems and with demonic issues, and mm-hmm. she asked me if I would get involved, and so I said, well, yes, and then 10 minutes later, I get an email. Now, what does that tell you? They're desperate.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so what happened is that I sent off an email, and as I'm doing that, I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit blowing over me, and I'm thinking, good. You're involved in this, Lord. This is like refreshing. And so I sent it off, and what happened is that I took the prayers from four prayers out of the book from the spiritual house cleaning, and I sent them to them to pray. And, of course, they prayed them as soon as they got them. And her mother had been fighting them on going to the hospital for help, so that they could deal with the metabolical stuff as well as other issues, and wouldn't go. Mm. So they prayed the prayers, and within a short period of time, the same day, she looks at him and says, I need to go to the hospital.
Hmm.
They were stunned, right? Okay, so now the person is helped, And so, of course, this is what they were looking for. God, our God that has manifestations and, you know, comes and does things that shows that he is alive, right, had intervened in their lives. And so when I had emailed a couple of days later, I said, it really would be beneficial for you if you had the copy of my book, Spiritual House Cleaning. Mm-hmm. And she wrote back and she goes, well, I got a copy of that book.
Amen.
Yeah. But it was on the shelf.
Of course. Probably with the Bible.
I was like stunned. And so what my sister says, well, Tom, you know, sometimes you have to be involved in order for the increase of power to be there. And I have seen that happen. So I kind of went with her. But the thing is that the comfort level is shook when there is a desperate need. And in some areas of our lives, the comfort is just so absolutely pervasive that people don't have the need or the pressure or the want, you know, to be able to press into God. And I'm hoping that people will listen to this and hear, have the wisdom to be able to say, you know what, time is growing short. I have to spend more time with a one-on-one relationship with the Lord, or become saved, you know, and receive the washing in the blood of Jesus Christ for this, to protect themselves and their family from what's ahead of us.
Yeah, I mean, think back to September 11th, 2001, you know, with the Trade Tower, you know, all that stuff happening in 9/11. A couple days later, bipartisan group stands on the Capitol steps, you know, praying to God and, you know, asking for his intervention. What happened to separation of church and state at that point in time? You know, nobody was saying that. The church parking lots were full for maybe 3 weeks, and then it started gradually going back to normal, you know?
Yes.
I mean, you know, like you said, when God decides that, you know, they haven't taken the hint, now it's time to give them a warning.
You
know?
Exactly.
His warnings are not pleasant, you know? It's kind of like your parents, you know, clean your room, clean your room, clean your room. And then you hear the belt coming off the wall. You're like, uh-oh, time to clean the room.
Yeah. Well, that's a scary thing because, you know, being a father myself, it was the best time of my life when I was parenting. And what I had learned from reading Christian materials, Focus on the Family was an absolutely, you know, tremendous resource for me. And so they had taught me that it's action. It's action that actually gets them motivated. So they got to know where the action line is. And as a believers in Jesus Christ, you know, we're about to find out where the action line is, and that's a little scary.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, we talked a second ago about natural disasters and all that. I mean, we're witnessing, you know, like you said, floods and tornadoes and hurricanes, and now volcanoes and earthquakes are happening. I mean, there's even talk that Yellowstone National Park is, you know, beginning to shake and rumble a little bit. I mean, what is the Lord showing you concerning those things?
All right. I was bringing this back to my memory because I thought it would be really important for our conversation today. And that is on May 16th of 2012, I had a very dramatic visitation. And so when I say that, it's just that I can feel the presence of the Lord coming upon me. And it's, of course, I'm stepping into the supernatural, which is kind of disturbing. And I have to condition myself to stay with it, because with God, if you resist, then he will withdraw. But then I'm missing out. I'm missing out on what the message is. And so I'm learning over time to be adjust to this and try to keep in it as long as I can. And so this is what happened on May 16, 2012. And I step into this vision where I'm actually living this, and I still haven't figured out how to really describe it. But what happened is that I was near my home in Chicago where I grew up. It was a place that was called Mount Greenwood. And there was a farmer's field at that time. And I was walking from the farmer's field to a road that was called 111th Street. And I had to go over an enhanced and fortified ditch in order to get to the street. And I'm thinking, this is like really weird, you know, that it's like 3 or 4 feet above grade. You know, what are they expecting to happen? And at the same time, what I'm noticing is that there is this unbelievable noise in the sky. You know, it's like 1,000 airplanes taking off from Midway at the same time. You know? And it's got my full attention, and I'm thinking, like, this is like really weird. You know, and as I'm progressing forward, then all of a sudden I started to notice that there was this control hut. And in this control hut was four men that had white lab coats on down to mid-calf. And they are talking to each other, and they are pulling levers, and they're throwing switches. No, and I come to realize that that was most likely four angels that was being illustrated there.
Mm.
And as I am having a conversation with them, next thing is that I'm in a car, and this car gets hit by a shockwave, right? And it knocks the car like halfway down the block. Now I'm like really scared. And the next thing I know, I am in a building. And as I'm standing in the building with these four men, then waves, swells, ground swells start rolling across the land. And it knocks me to my feet. And they're talking amongst each other. And I'm thinking, well, why aren't they disturbed that this was happening? Okay. And then it had ended. So I've been thinking about this for 6 years, right? Well, if anybody was going to do an investigation, the first thing that they would want to do is they would, of course, bring up on the internet, probably YouTube, is strange noises heard in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
Right. And so that was one of the first things in that visitation. Now, you know what's the other thing that's important about this is that this is 4 days before NATO comes into Chicago, right, for a summit. Mm. And Pastor Phil, my friend, was coming to hold meetings at a church in the local area. And so there's like the combination. So it was the NATO was to show me that this was a worldwide event, and that because people from around the world come to protest NATO's summits. And so I'm paying attention to all of this. So with the atmospheric noises, I started Googling it or YouTubing it, and I was getting information about it. And they really had no answers. Now, when I think back about my parents, my grandparents, right? My grandparents were born in the 1880s, you know, up until this current day. You know, I was a listener. I used to listen to my grandparents talk about old times because, of course, they love talking about old times, you know? And so I'd listen to them. I listened to my parents, you know, and I have my own life experiences. And not ever does it come up that there has been these unbelievable noises in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is absolutely new. So I had pulled up on the internet, and I pulled out an article that says strange sounds in the sky explained by scientists. Now, this is something that they've been struggling to try to figure out what's going on.
Hmm.
And as he's going through this, he is explaining that the gravitational waves from X flares, solar flares, are affecting the atmosphere, the ionosphere, in such a powerful way that we are hearing these noises, but it's also affecting the rest of the world as far as earthquakes and changes in the weather patterns. Mm-hmm. and how it is showing up in these unusual sounds. But he goes on to say that the sounds are only a portion of what is happening because our ears can only hear a certain level or amount. And he's saying that it's like only like 10% of what is actually happening in the atmosphere that we can hear.
Hmm.
And so that was the first one. The second one was the shock waves, right? We are having these booms, the booms that are happening. And when you go on there and you do the research about the booms, what happens is that they are frequently happening all around the world. And they don't have an answer to the booms, right? But there is a section in history in 2011, 2012, when the New Madrid Fault was about to unleash, that they said that for 2 years they heard like cannon fire, you know, many times louder, and that the they had these sandblasts where sand geysers were coming out of the ground.
Wow.
And of course they had no idea what was going on. And so now we have this worldwide, and then you got this crack that shows up in Kenya, you know, that is stunning them. They're wondering if the continent is pulling apart, you know, and you also have a huge crackdown in Mexico that has taken place.
I hadn't heard about those.
And so let's progress on to that ditch that I crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten to some seminars, and I think it was Berkeley, where this professor was talking about volcanism. Well, of course, I've always been interested in volcanism, right? And you see that drainage ditch that I was looking at, all right? Well, with volcanism, when you have lava flows, it's considered a reverse drainage.
Hmm.
Okay? Because where does the pressure get released? It comes up and it goes out, whereas drainage, water drainage or any kind of other drainage goes down,
right.
It flows downward. So the dream was showing me, or the visitation was showing me, that there'd be an increase of activity where the earth was going to be having this drainage taking place. And of course, we talked about this in the pre-interview about what's happening with Hawaii right now,
which
is fascinating to watch. If people haven't seen that, oh, they need to Google that, because that those rifts that are opening up are spectacular.
Yeah. Amen.
So then there's one more, and that is the ground swells, which we haven't seen too much of in our nation. But I will say is that anybody who does this and takes interest in this type of thing, especially in the Ring of Fire, is that from the southern tip of the panhandle of Alaska, okay, down to the Baja of Mexico, there's the Cascadia Fault Range, and of course the San Andreas, as well as some others, and they have been locked for decades. When the rest of the rim has been shifting and moving, this area has been locked and storing energy, and they're very concerned about this. Now, so I think it's poised and ready to see some ground swells taking place in that area, as well as, and the New Madrid has got a lot of pent-up energy as well. So, and then you have that weird earthquake that took place off the coast of Mexico, I mean, in the Gulf of Mexico, just a short while ago, which had them very interested. So there are things that are happening in the world that the Lord showed that he is in control of, but I believe that it is something else to get our attention, to help us get out of this comfort zone, to be able to focus on him so that he will take care of us as these things are unfolding.
Amen. Now, would that be classified in the Bible where it talks about, you know, the earth groans awaiting the redemption?
Yeah. That's the thing, because it's kind of a weird thing. When you get through history, you have no record of this in any kind of thing. I mean, look at the flood. The flood is being verified, you know, throughout history, you know. And so you have this, which is a new phenomena, and the Bible does talk about the earth groaning. Mm-hmm. And part of it is that, and this is my own opinion, is that we have so much sin in the world that the earth is being affected by the corruption of the sin, and it is showing up in the groaning in the other atmospheres. Now, this is just my opinion. No. And so there's also a dynamic of the earth wobbling, which is starting to just now come on the horizon. And that's also in the Bible, where the world wobbles like a drunkard. No. Mm. And so we're starting to see this stuff unfold in our lifetime, coming back to Matthew 24.
Yep, amen. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about cryptocurrency and it being the in thing right now. You know, if you're not invested in Bitcoin, you're missing out type of attitude. Now, how will that affect not only our economy here in the United States, but the world economic system? When, you know, governments lose control of how goods are bought and sold, then the economic system itself suffers, correct?
Right. Okay. So I have done an amazing amount of research in this, because the Lord has really gotten my thoughts. And I've gone online and I've read articles, and I probably got over 100 hours or more watching these incredibly intelligent people on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had read a book, and I can't remember the title right now, but they're talking about how every currency, or as they call it, fiat currency,
right,
is comes to an end sooner or later.
Yep.
And I'm trying to wrap my head around this, right? So all of a sudden, the Lord gave me the image of my father's house. Now, when he had purchased this house brand new, it was around the late part of 1940s, right? And he had purchased it for $6,000.
Yeah.
Right? Which was, it's a brick building, totally brick building, with plaster walls on the inside. So you have craftsmanship involved in the house. Right? So now when he sold the house in 1967, he was elated for the fact that he got $19,000 for the house.
Okay. Right?
What is that? Triple?
Well, three times, yeah.
Yeah. So he was very pleased. Now, a friend of mine was a real estate agent, and 5 years ago, I don't even think it was five. Let's say three. 3 years ago, the house came on the market, and I wanted to go through the house as a memory, you know, type of thing. So I had him set up an appointment to go through the house, and I had invited my sisters and niece to come, and he was not too happy with me about doing this. He goes, Tom, what are you doing? You know, so it was too late. You know, we walked through the house, and of course, it was flooded with memories. Mm-hmm. I stepped back like in a flash. You ever have one of those things?
Oh,
it's absolutely amazing.
And, did the house seem a lot smaller than it was that it did when you were a kid?
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it was a cracker box.
Yeah.
You know, with five kids, two bedrooms, you know, four girls and a boy. It was really, I'm telling you. Yes, I totally agree with that. You had the same experience?
Yeah, exactly.
And so now here's the fascinating part, all right? The house was valued, appraised, and being sold at $240,000.
Wow. All
right, so what does this mean? Now, in this book that I was reading, they were talking about the fall of Rome. In the beginning, their silver coins were 100% silver, okay? At the end, they were only 5% silver and other metals that were cheaper.
Yep.
And what happened is that people lost faith in the value of the coins, and then that's when their system failed. Right? Yep. So you have a house that was built for $6,000 that is now going for $240,000. So what does that say about the value of the money? It's getting to the point where it is with quantitative easing, which is QE4, and they've done other deals where they have supported the banks, that they the money is getting to the point where it is on the verge of not being trusted anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So there is a new term that came up just to my awareness 10 days ago when I was listening to these, an analyst. I like to go to Greg Hunter. He has a lot of good people on his YouTube channel. And so they were talking about this term called zombie banks. Have you ever heard of those?
No, never heard of that one. That's a term I never heard of.
Well, here's the description. A bank has to have more assets than liabilities, right? And it talks about being liquid. Now, if they have more liabilities than they have assets, that's called bankruptcy.
Right.
Okay, so there are banks that are now in the bankruptcy stage that they are allowing to continue down this road, and so they are technically financially dead, but they're still being used, and this is why they are calling them zombie banks.
So that technically discusses the current status of the United States government.
Well, you know, this is the bond market. They have a turn for the bond market between the 10 and 30 year bonds, where there is this yield curve. So the higher 30-year bonds have a higher interest rate, and the 10-year has a lower interest rate. And when the yield curve gets too close to each other, the last two times that we have had a recession or chaos, that yield curve has flattened out. And as of yesterday, it was only 14 basis points between the spread, which means that it's virtually flattened out, which is a precursor to a recession happening, which is usually within 6 months or so down the road, unless they can somehow pull a rabbit out of the hat, which they do.
Yep. And when they do, it just makes more debt. That's basically what it does.
So now you wanted to get to the cryptocurrencies, right?
Yeah.
So what is happening is that there are a certain amount of people who are understanding that the value of the money is getting to the point where it's going to fail, because all fiat currencies fail at some point. You know, and so what happens is that they regroup and they reinitialize a new currency, and they back it off of usually gold in order to give it a strength. And so you see that posturing going on. Russia and China have been buying huge amounts of gold stock. And being able to come up with the new currencies to be able to have strength in their financial system, all right? So, but people are losing their faith in the monetary systems around the world. And so what is happening is that they are starting to drift into other areas, which is precious metals and commodities and solid goods. Like, let's say I think it was about 18 months, maybe 2 years ago, this is Warren Buffett, you know, a very rich man. He bought an entire railroad because he wanted to take his digital money and turn it into something that was concrete. You know? And so that's what people are doing. They are putting it into concrete, something that will last through the downfall or the reset, the financial reset. And cryptocurrencies come into this because of the fact that cryptocurrencies have a finite amount of coins. And that's why Bitcoin is so popular, is that they have constructed it with a certain amount of coins and they will not exceed that. So because it's finite, then it becomes more valuable, and people are transferring some of their assets into the cryptocurrencies so that they can survive any kind of financial debacle that will take place. And so they were doing very well. As a matter of fact, I have probably about 10 different cryptocurrencies myself. Last year, I started getting involved with them, and because I believe that the Lord was showing me that this is one way to diversify.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. Once again, we're all out of time for today's episode. But Tom's been sharing some unique insights, especially, you know, answering the question about the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and all that, and how it can be used. And it is true, it can be used to diversify your portfolio. We're going to be getting into more information on these things and other subjects tomorrow as we're wrapping up what the Bible clearly says are the end of days. And we're living in that time now. Now, whether we get raptured out or whether you believe you're going through the tribulation, either way, you need prepared because you never know how long that will take. Amen? So come back tomorrow, and we're going to continue our interview with Tom Donnan. Till then, it's Pastor Bob along with Tom Donnan reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.